Hello and welcome to our weekly podcast, The World Outside. I'm Maha Siddiqui. The Myanmar military has taken control of the country after alleging that the November elections were fraudulently won by Aung San Suu Kyi. A year-long emergency has been imposed. What lies ahead now for Myanmar and how is it likely to impact India? Joining me now is former diplomat Shyam Saran, who's also served in Myanmar. Many thanks, sir, for speaking with us.
My pleasure.
Sir, after a mild hold on democracy for less than a decade now, Myanmar is back to military rule. What does it mean for the country?
What it means is that the very fragile sort of progress that was made in establishing civilian and parliamentary democracy in Myanmar, which, by the way, was not, in a sense, true democracy, because behind the scenes, the armed forces were still the most powerful entity in the country. So even that kind of fragile progress that was made in establishing democracy has received a very, very serious setback. And it may be perhaps years, if ever, that we might see a restoration of any kind of a democratic polity in Myanmar.
Right, sir. So that brings us to the question of democracies itself across the world, because Myanmar is not the first place in the recent past where free and fair elections have been questioned. We have seen that happen even in the United States. Where does it leave the basic framework of democracies, which stand on the premise of free and fair elections, belief in the system, and respect for results?
It should be understood that, you know, democracy is not only about holding elections, you know. Elections are certainly indispensable to democracies, but much more important than merely holding elections are the establishment and maintenance of very strong institutions, such as a, you know, election commission, a independent judiciary, a multi-party system, a free media. All these are indispensable to democracy, not merely elections. Now, what has happened really is all across the world, not so much focused on the electoral process itself, but the fact that, you know, most of the very important institutions of democracy, they are losing credibility. The kind of respect and faith that people in democratic countries have had in these institutions, that has been fraying. And I think, you know, unless we focus attention more on these institutions and their health, I think, you know, the future of democracy across the world may be somewhat weak.
So then this brings us also to the point of whether Aung San Suu Kyi herself has not been able to create a robust democratic Myanmar, despite her leading a fight for democracy from the front earlier on.
The fact is that, as I mentioned, that, you know, in a sense, Myanmar was on the road to being a full democracy, but it was not quite there. You know, there was essentially a compromise that had been reached between Aung San Suu Kyi and her National League of Democracy and the Myanmar army, that, you know, in certain areas, the civilian government would enjoy a high degree of autonomy and to be able to manage the country. But there are certain critical areas where the army would continue to be, in fact, very powerful. So, for example, within the parliament itself, 25% of the seats were reserved for the Myanmar army. And that would ensure that no constitutional amendment could be made unless, in fact, the army was ready to go along with it, because you need more than three quarters of the vote in order to have a constitutional amendment. Secondly, the vice president was, in fact, going to be a nominee of the armed forces. The ministries of Home Affairs, of Defense and Border Affairs would also be with the armed forces. So in a sense, you know, very important levers of power had remained with the armed forces, and it was only to a limited degree that political authority was exercised by the ruling party. But this was always an uneasy compromise. And I think what has happened is that, you know, because the NLD, despite, you know, perhaps some dissatisfaction with that party during the last 5 years, the NLD won a thumping majority again. And I think this created a certain kind of anxiety within the military leadership that, you know, the momentum for greater change towards reducing the army's role in political life of the country, that momentum would perhaps become even more difficult to resist. So in some sense, this was a kind of a preemptive move to prevent, you know, that kind of a trend from really becoming entrenched in the country and their role being further undermined. So this is an important, you know, reason, I believe, for the move that has been made by the Myanmar army.
So also then, does it give us a sense that, you know, in some sense, after 50 years, they were finding it difficult to let go also of power?
Yes, of course. And as I said, they did not really let go of power entirely. They made sure that in certain critical areas, they would continue to dominate, and they would, in any case, have the power in their hands to overturn a democratic polity should it not suit them any longer. And I think this is what has happened in this particular case. It was always clear that, you know, the civilian government was there in a sense on sufferance. But obviously the Myanmar military believes that you know, there is a certain kind of a increase in influence of the civilian government, particularly the NLD, which might in the future threaten their position. So they have in a sense reacted to that. By the way, there is also a problem that you know, in Myanmar, I describe the polity as a kind of a three-legged stool. You know, you have the military, you have the ethnic groups, and you have the Burman civilian democratic constituency, which is led by Aung San Suu Kyi. And if two of these combine against the third, it is very difficult for that third element to survive. So it was very important that during the period that the NLD was, you know, in a sense, the party of government, they did try in order to bring about a peace process with the different ethnic groups. But in fact, they were not very successful. And some of these ethnic groups have not been very happy with the NLD government. So I think the army was also conscious of the fact that this particular constituency, if there was a military coup, this particular constituency would not really come out in support of Aung San Suu Kyi. So to some extent, there has been a kind of a relative isolation of the NLD during the last few years.
Ambassador, what does it mean for India now? India has worked earlier on with the junta, but India really, does it have too many options? I mean, we share a border with Myanmar.
Well, you know, obviously, whichever way you look at it, this does constitute a certain setback for Indian interests. Mainly because I believe that the military junta in Myanmar would not have taken this step without at least some tacit kind of a go-ahead from the Chinese, because they would have known that if they were to take this move, there would be considerable international condemnation. There may even be sanctions. Only if China were ready to give an assurance that they would act as a kind of a shield against these international pressures. They would make certain that sanctions which may be imposed do not really affect Myanmar because they are still supported by China. I doubt whether they would have taken this step. So this certainly would mean that the military government in Myanmar will once again be very beholden to China. Chinese influence in the country will probably see a significant increase. Even though, I think whether it was Aung San Suu Kyi or military government, they have always been a little cautious about the relationship with China. But I think they have no option. If they have gone ahead with this coup, they would need the help of China. So to the extent that Chinese influence is going to increase in yet another country on India's periphery is certainly not very good news. But we would also have to see whether or not we continue to engage with the military regime. In the past, as you say, when I was also ambassador there, we did engage with the military regime. We have maintained our contacts with the Myanmar military throughout these last several years. So perhaps we will make, of course, a statement expressing our concern, as we have, but maybe the practical situation will be that we will continue to have to engage with whoever is in power in Myanmar.
Many thanks, sir, for that perspective on Myanmar.
Thank you. Thank you very much.